Coming up today, we'll talk with an 89-year-old widow who copied the entire Bible by hand.
Even though I entered into writing this kind of selfishly to fill in time, God has blessed me so much, I would advise anyone that has time on their hands to do so.
Then we'll hear the story of a homeless ministry in Denver that's reaching thousands with the gospel in spite of loud opposition.
When you go help homeless, they're pretty respectful and they receive your love and they're thankful. And I come out here and I'm trying to open this to help the homeless and I'm just getting attacked, like just so much hate towards us. And so I'm like, Lord, you'll keep this cafe in business if you want it to, and you'll let it go away if you want to.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff Shambly, and this is The Stand Radio. Well, joining me on the program today is a fascinating lady who has copied the Word of God, the text of the Bible, by hand. Her name is Marguerite Robison, and she's joining me now on the Stand Radio. Miss Robison, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is quite a feat, copying the Bible by hand. I'm going to ask you how long that took, first of all.
It took 3.5 years.
Okay.
Writing daily, 45 minutes to an hour each day.
Now, let me ask you the obvious question here. Why did you decide to do that? What led you to copy the Bible?
Well, I live alone. My husband passed away in 2015, and I'm an early riser. I needed something to fill my time. I always look forward to reading the newspaper early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was dissatisfied with some of the things that was coming out in the paper. I canceled my subscription. I needed something to do for early morning hours, and I selfishly decided to do this. It was to fill up my time. I thought there may be some benefit to this as well.
Yeah. All right. Looking back on this, let's get to some of those benefits. Now, this is over 3 years ago. Looking back on that, now here you are at the very end of having copied the Bible. What is your impression with those benefits that you thought might be there? What spiritually, how did you benefit from copying the Word of God?
Well, when you write the Scripture, you understand the context fully, more fully than reading. And I was convicted of a lot of sins that I wasn't even aware of, a lot of it in my thinking. But I was convicted, and this led me to a very thankful heart that Jesus Christ, my Savior, had forgiven me of those sins, even though I hadn't acknowledged them. That is a big benefit. I enjoyed it. I look forward to that every morning.
Did you ever wake up tired and you thought, you know, today I'm not going to do that? And you know, most people would be tempted to stop after, you know, a month or two, and that's a long time. Did that temptation ever come, and how did you press through your desires?
Not until I got into the Old Testament, Leviticus, yeah. Chronicles, those books, they were testing. I sometimes felt like, why are you doing this? But I continued on, and I was so blessed by doing it.
So there was blessing even in copying those genealogies.
Yes.
You know, you think about all of the names, and you look at Nehemiah and certainly Chronicles. Those are tough names to copy by hand.
Absolutely. Another thing is the numbers. I did cheat a little on numbers. I used numerals. I didn't at first. I wrote it out, 10,000, wrote it out. Then I decided to use numerals, which made it a little easier for that.
Well, I think people would forgive you for that, for using the actual numbers. So, first of all, when did you become a believer? Were you a young?
I was 13 when I was saved, very immature 13. I did not have a lot of training in the Scripture and wasted a lot of years not studying the Scripture. But as I grew older, I realized what God had done in my life. There was times when I doubted whether I was even saved. But as I continued on to grow as a Christian, I realized how great God is. And I think when I wrote this scripture, I didn't know whether I would finish it or not. Mm-hmm. And I wrote in some old composition books, partially used, that my grandson had discarded. But had I known I was going to complete this, I would have written God's Word in a beautiful journal. That's God's Word. Even though I entered into writing this kind of selfishly to fill in time, God has blessed me so much. I would advise anyone that has time on their hands to do so.
Did you find that it's easier to recall verses now that you've written these books?
Not so at my age. It's hard to memorize. I have memorized many scriptures through the years. Mm-hmm. I read through the Bible, just read through it several years ago. But I have memorized a lot of scripture, but my memory is not so well at this age.
You spoke of being convicted of sins. Do you find that your life now as a believer, that you're able to say that you're more faithfully walking with Him because of your experience?
Yes, I do. I have a long way to go, but I still, it has increased my faith. It has made me aware of so many things that I took for granted.
There's an obvious physical component to this copying of the Bible. 45 minutes a day, that's a lot of writing. As an 89-year-old woman, how did you have the physical stamina to hold up to that?
I don't know. The Lord just blessed me. When I started, I didn't know if my hand would hold out a lot or not. I have a lot of arthritis, but it served me well.
And you would recommend someone to take up the cause to write a book or a passage or even a chapter?
Yes. I started out, Dr. David Jeremiah recommended everyone should copy the book of Romans.
Okay.
That's what I did. Then I continued on with all the books of the New Testament.
And then you went to the Old Testament.
I did.
So you had some verses under your belt by the time you got to those genealogies.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. What a wonderful testimony of not only copying the Bible, but of how the Word of God is able to shape us and to conform us to Christ's image. Ms. Robison, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
What began in 2012 as one man's act of compassion for the homeless has really grown into a multifaceted ministry of sharing God's love and providing tangible support for the homeless of Denver, Colorado. If you get the Stand magazine, you know that in this month's issue, there's a story highlighting Jamie Sanchez, who is spearheading this ministry, and he's here with us on the Stand Radio. Jamie, welcome to the Stand Radio.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
First of all, just take us back to the beginning. How did your concern for the homeless begin?
Yeah, wow. It started because of a Bible study and a scripture that popped out, which was 1 John 4:10. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins, and therefore we must love one another. And so that kind of stirred us up to not just be Christians who want to learn about God, but also Christians who act on that love.
Yeah. Wow. What a beautiful testimony. Jamie, you married your high school sweetheart. Tell us about Carolyn.
Yeah, we met. I was a junior in high school, and she was a freshman, and she had moved here from New Mexico, and so she was, you know, someone who was different than everybody else, so that interested me. And we just started hanging out right away, and we did live, you know, our first few years together in rebellion. And there came a time where we both kind of had this feeling of, like, you know what, we're not living the right way, you know, we're not. And she came from a mom who was Christian, too, just a crazy, amazing woman, Carolyn was. She was raised by a mom who was 100% blind, who raised four girls by herself as a single mom. And so Carolyn had her her same, you know, vigor. And so it was one of those things where we realized we were supposed to be together. And there were times where we knew we were rebelling against God and we would kind of avoid the conversation. But we continued to fall in love and to work together. And we had our first daughter when I was 21. And we were like, you know what, we have to, you know, stop living like this. And so we got married, and that was about the exact same time when God started intervening in our lives together. It all happened together at the same time.
You had what you described in the documentary that you're featured in, the AFA Impact Series. You describe one of your family's greatest challenges, and that was the diagnosis of cancer that your wife received in 2017. She subsequently passed away in 2018, and you talk about the difficulty that you went through in the idea of returning back to that ministry. What was God doing in your heart at that time?
Well, it started off with me being very confused and angry and sad and, you know, depressed. Everything, all the emotions you can think of. But during that time, I never gave up on God. In fact, I wanted him to show himself to me more so that I can understand why I was going through this. Mm-hmm. And so when I did do that, you know, I just remember reading the scripture, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. And I really wanted to test that scripture of not test him, but test that scripture of like, you know what, God, if you say this is true, like, I really want to seek you and I really want you to be true to your word, which he always is. And he did show himself to me in so many ways of like, you know what, this isn't about you. This is about me. This is about my kingdom. This is about more people than just you and your little family. So it really helped me take myself out of my own little, you know, personal life, and helped me look at this world from a kingdom view and to see that there's so much work to be done and there can be a benefit from this, and the fact that it makes us stronger, and it also has opened up the opportunity for me to minister to people who have gone through something similar to me. And their lives are being impacted because I was able to go through what I did and able to showcase God through that situation.
Well, the ministry has certainly expanded since that time. I suppose it was about this time that the ministry Recycle God's Love came about. And that has since just exploded in the city of Denver with the amount of people that you're touching. Tell us about Recycle God's Love and what you're doing right now with the homeless in Denver.
Yeah, it's really taken off. My mindset changed in the fact that, okay, it's not just family and friends anymore. Like, this is an opportunity that the church needs and the church is lacking in this area. And so I started connecting with churches and, you know, trying to, you know, speak on their stages and let them know, hey, like, we got this opportunity. We can go serve the homeless. It's really easy to get involved. And it, you know, grew from in 2012, we were serving burritos and, you know, clothes out of our trunk, to now we serve over 300 to 400 people at a time. You know, we have between 100 and 175 volunteers show up at each event, and it's crazy. We do hot food, we have tons of clothing and hygiene and blankets, and we do haircuts for people. We have the mobile DMV that comes out and sets up a station to take pictures and have them help them get their IDs back. Mm-hmm. And we do a hand care station, which is our form of doing feet washing. And then it's just, and obviously we're sitting down, we're praying with them. Every single table has a volunteer who's sitting with them, praying with them, getting to know their story, just ministering to them. And so it's just crazy to see so many people be so excited. And so God has just made this out to be something that just allows such a level of comfort. I don't even know how to explain it. And so it's a very unique situation that God has brought about.
The website, and we want to point our listeners to the website, it's recyclegodslove.com. You need to go there and just watch some of the videos and see the kind of ministry that is going on there in Denver. It's a great model for what I think can be done in many, many other places. Once again, the website, recyclegodslove.com. You mentioned the Drip Cafe, and I want to kind of pick up on that because that's the subject behind the documentary that American Family Association has produced with you called The Jamie Sanchez Story. It's at resources.afa.net. But in that documentary, it highlights some of the challenges and, frankly, some of the gross opposition that you are facing there in Denver. Would you describe how this opposition came about and sort of what the nature of all of that is?
Yeah, it's pretty wild, actually, and it's very, very obviously spiritual. So we got offered the cafe, got the opportunity, and we go to, you know, set everything up and open up on June in 2023, and we're immediately getting these like crazy messages like on Instagram and Facebook, mm-hmm. and like people talking about it. And at this point it's like, we've just done homeless ministry, we haven't had any issues with anybody, we've always been great, all that stuff, and all of a sudden we get these messages like, how dare you guys hate gay people and hate the LGBT community? Like, you guys are terrible people. You're not welcome here. Like, all this stuff. And we're like, whoa, this is really strange. And I was like, you know, it's probably just a couple wackos out there, you know, whatever. And so I just kind of like ignored it a little bit. And then one of my attorney buddies, he ends up like doing a little research and finds a thread on Reddit from this Antifa group who is basically planning to protest our opening of our cafe. And I'm like, wow. What? And so we open the cafe. And as soon as I open the cafe, one of the board members, I'm not sure if he's still there anymore because I haven't seen him this past year. Once I open the cafe, this board member for the art district, because that's where we opened our cafes on the Santa Fe Art District, he walks into the cafe and he's like, are you Jamie? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you're not welcome here. No one wants you here. You're going to be closed in a week. How dare you? Wow. You should be disgusted with yourself. Like, it just goes off on me. And I haven't even said a word to this guy. Wow. And he doesn't even know who I am, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, I was like, well, what's going on? Do you want to talk about it? He's like, no, I don't want to talk to you, and just walks out. And that's pretty much how everyone in this group is. No one wants to talk to me. No one wants to know what I have to say. No one wants to let me, you know, dispute any false claims that are against me. It's all just like, they've got it in their head. That's it. It's a fact about me, that kind of thing. So immediately, first day opening, we've got protesting happening outside. They've got the posters. They've got the flyers. They've got the bullhorn. They've got it all. They're chalking the sidewalk. Just like culture shock for me, like insane, like, I've gone from, you know, helping the homeless to where everybody, you know, when you go help homeless, they're pretty respectful and they receive your love and they're thankful. And I come out here and I'm trying to open this to help the homeless and I'm just getting attacked, like just so much hate towards us. And it was just really, really wild. And we find out it's a group called the Denver Communists who are also organizing that against us. And essentially, their goal is to create so many lies about us that no one wants to come in and buy any coffee at our shop, essentially.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. How do you respond to a group like this? I mean, do you ignore them? Do you engage them when they come out there? What's your response been like?
Well, our response is really, it has changed over the past 2 years. It started with, all right, we need a bunch of people to come and like support and maybe try to talk to them and kind of be an opposing force outside. And really all that did was make them more crazy, right? It just stoked their flame. And so we're like, okay, that's not really helpful. And then we decided we're going to cook up, you know, I had one of my buddy pastors who does a youth ministry, and they cook hamburgers for a high school. And he was like, I'll just come out and cook 200 hamburgers and just give them out to everybody who walks by your shop. And, you know, maybe that'll, you know, confuse them. Maybe that'll, you know, help the community see we care about them, whatever. So we did that. And that was kind of a helpful day, but it also, you know, didn't really do much. And then, but what it really came down to was I was just constantly seeking Christ through this, which I still do, obviously. But during that time, it was like, Lord, like, I have to be with you 24/7 every second of the day. Otherwise, I'm going to fail big time. Like, the spiritual attack is serious. And so I'm just constantly seeking and adjusting and calibrating and like, okay, what am I going to do? Like, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to handle this? And what I realized, what God revealed to me, was the enemy, you know, the enemy hates me, not you. And so I had to realize that first. And then second of all, I realized what they're really doing, it's actually working, is they're taking my energy away. They're taking my focus away from God, and they're making me focus on them and how to react to them. And so I'm like, I'm not going to do that anymore. God, you're the one who deserves all the glory. You're the one who deserves all my attention. Like, Lord, you'll keep this cafe in business if you want it to, and you'll let it go away if you want to. So what does it help for me to try to come up with all kinds of crazy strategies to get these guys to go away? So what we did is we just decided, you know what? We're going to completely ignore them. Okay. We're going to have anybody who wants to come support us, great, come support us, but I want you to stay inside. I want you to stay inside. I want you to pray. So we shifted our mindset like that, and then we started doing worship nights on that night. So now, instead of focusing on them, we got these crazy people spitting on our windows, chalking on our, like, they're screaming, we hate you, you're terrible, blah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and on the inside, if just a normal person was to stand in the middle and look from side to side, they would be like, what the heck is going on here? Because then you shift your focus to the inside of the cafe, and there's just like spirit pouring out, worshiping, people crying, people pouring out their spirit to God, like just worship. Like, we have live worship happening, and we're praying for them outside, and we're praying for each other, and we're surrendering things. And like, that has been the most impactful towards showing them, like, we don't really care what you're doing out there. Like, you're just being nonsensical, you know, like, you're just being crazy, and we're in here, like, none of your lies are getting to us, because we know they're not true. We know who the true God is, and he deserves all of our worship, and so we worship him.
Jamie, as I listen to you talk, and I'm so impressed that you are an individual who's walking a life of faith, because you constantly are talking about listening to the voice of God, turning back to him. And I want you to speak to our listeners about that, because, you know, spiritual warfare is very, very real. And Satan has a tactic. He has schemes. And you talked about something very, very significant, and I think that is ignoring him and turning to the Lord and choosing to give your energy to the praises of God rather than the attention and the distraction that the enemy has. So if you would speak to the spiritual warfare that some of our listeners may be going through and how they should handle that in their lives.
Yeah, that's something, I mean, I'm still learning, you know, I'm still learning all the time about how to do that. But honestly, it comes down to the fact that there's nothing new to God, right? And there's nothing that we can be tempted with that is new to man, as the scriptures say. And so when we realize that, we just put ourselves in a position of like, you know what? This isn't the worst thing that's ever happened. Something my old pastor used to say was like, you know, life is really hard until you talk to someone else. And then you realize life's not that hard, because everybody has something harder going on in their life than you do. And so when I put myself in that position, I just realized, you know what? God has done everything for me. There's nothing more I can do to earn any more love from God. And there's nothing I can do to separate myself from him because his blood is the thing that did all the work in the first place. And so when I just put myself back to the foot of that cross, that's when I can realize all this stuff, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. These things in life, they're so failing, they're just passing away. And like when I set my mind on things of the kingdom, it's much simpler. And that is the truth about it. It's a simple gospel. It's a very simple thing to do, but it also is the most difficult thing to do, which is to follow Christ. It's like, it's really, really simple. Just give up yourself and be about Christ and be in the scripture and seek wise counsel. Like, that's my suggestion to anybody who's going through some sort of spiritual battle, is like, make sure you're talking to wise counsel and constantly get people's perspective on things that you can trust spiritually, and be in the scripture, continually be in prayer, because ultimately that's what it's all about. If you don't know who the Father is, you don't know what the Father's will is. And so the more you get to know who he is, the more you get to know what he wants of you, and that makes it a lot easier to take the next step.
Good counsel, Jamie. We've been talking with Jamie Sanchez of Recycle God's Love, a wonderful homeless ministry going on in Denver, and obviously dealing with some very severe spiritual warfare, but overcoming by walking with the Lord in faith. The website, and I hope you check this out, is recyclegodslove.com, recyclegodslove.com. And also Jamie is featured in the American Family Studios documentary, The Jamie Sanchez Story, that is part of the AFA Impact series. And you can get that DVD at our website, resources.afa.net. We'll put a link to that on our podcast page. Jamie, what an encouragement to hear your testimony and to hear what the Lord is doing through you. And we would encourage our listeners to pray for you now and in the days and weeks and months ahead. So we certainly appreciate your time today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
And next week, theologian and author Dr. Owen Strand will explain what's behind this social media phenomenon of Andrew Tate and find out what the Bible says about being a man. To get a podcast of any of these programs, visit afr.net. To get a free trial subscription to The Stand magazine and our daily email, visit afa.net/The Stand. Thanks so much for being with us today, and join us next time for The Stand Radio.